This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Sarah D'Elia, in for Mike Collins. Babies weren't always born in hospitals. They were born right here at home with the help of a midwife. With the rise of hospitals, midwifery became less mainstream, but it's had a bit of a resurgence in recent years. Later in the show, we'll be talking to local midwives about their work and mothers about their decision to use a midwife. But first, we speak with Dr. Rebecca Bagley, an associate clinical professor and the director of the Nurse Midwifery Education Program at East Carolina University, and she joins us by phone. Welcome.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for being here. So to start off, Dr. Bagley, I wanted to ask you maybe a basic question for people that are in this midwifery world, but a lot of folks may be wondering, what is a midwife? How do you define it?
That's a very good question, and actually there are a lot of people that get confused with that because there are different types of midwives. Certified professional midwives, there's certified nurse midwives, there's certified midwives. So a certified nurse midwife is what we teach here at East Carolina University. They're nurses first. They have a BS, a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. They come to school after they've had a minimum of 1 year experience working as a nurse. And then they leave our program with a Master of Science in Nursing and are then eligible to sit for the National Board Exam, which makes them a certified nurse midwife. There are certified professional midwives who have a different kind of training. They're not specialized in women's health in general. It's more pregnancy, and they basically do home birth. In some states, they work in birthing centers as well. Only doing low risk for all of us, actually. Mm-hmm. And they are trained. There are some schools that are MEEC accredited, but a lot of them are more of an apprentice type accreditation. And then there's certified midwives. That there's only four states in our country that have certified midwives. They take the same board exam that the certified nurse midwives take and provide care for the same women. However, they are not nurses, so they can go straight from a baccalaureate program into a school without having that nursing background. But they're only legal to practice in certain states, and North Carolina is not one of those. So in North Carolina, we have certified professional midwives and certified nurse midwives.
And if you're legally practicing as a midwife in North Carolina, what kind of certification do you need to be at a birthing center or attend a home birth?
Okay, so certified nurse midwives can basically do it all. After graduation, and they've taken sat for the board exam and become a certified nurse midwife, they could open a practice and do home birth legally. They could be in a birthing center. They could be in their own practice, or they could be in, you know, as a hospitalist in a hospital. We do have in our law this physician supervision that is required in order for us to get approval to practice. And so that is something that we have to have here in the state of North Carolina.
And how does that compare to South Carolina?
I'm not sure that I can speak as well to the laws in South Carolina. I'm not sure I can tell you that. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. You mentioned the physician supervision, and I want to dive into you with you. What is physician supervision? How does that exactly work with a certified nurse midwife in the state of North Carolina?
Well, that's part of the problem, is it's looked at in different ways. I mean, you hear the word supervision, and some people take that literally to think that the physician has to be, you know, hovering over the midwife and actually in the hospital when she delivers, if she happens to be a midwife that's delivering in the hospital. Some people have used it more loosely in that, well, you just have to have a physician to refer to. Because of this physician supervision, once the midwife comes to North Carolina and you know, she's already registered as a licensed nurse and she's passed her board exam, she has to find this physician that will agree to be her, quote, supervising physician, unquote. And if this physician doesn't know the midwife, he or she may be very uncomfortable taking on this responsibility. And so there are midwives that don't come to our state because they're, you know, they're not really known by the physicians. It's hard for them to find that supervising physician. And so the majority of our midwives that graduate from our program are going to practices that already have midwives, that already have this supervising physician in in operation. And that these midwives tend to be more in urban areas. And so it's caused a problem with lack of obstetrical care in rural areas in our state.
Mm-hmm. And I know that compared to South Carolina, where I believe you need to be a certified professional midwife, the physician supervision isn't really as much of an issue there, but it has come up in our legislation. Currently, there's House Bill 88 that's
Correct.
Currently in a health committee, and that would eliminate the physician supervision. If that bill does pass, how would that affect midwifery? I mean, what would that open up for midwives, in your opinion, in the state of North Carolina?
Right. Well, first of all, I would like to say that there is not a nurse midwife around that's going to practice totally independent. It is in our standard of care that we are going to work within some health care system that allows for collaboration, consultation, and referral. So regardless of what the law says, there's going to be that route for that no midwife is going to want to be out there totally on his or her own. But what it would allow is the midwife could go into some of these rural areas and set up practice and provide care where the physicians aren't going, whether it's a family medicine physician or an OBGYN. They just tend to not go to these really rural areas in our state. And so we went in about 2003, we changed from a face-to-face program to an online program so that we can kind of home grow some of these nurse midwives, and they would stay in their rural areas. And that has been somewhat the case, but some of them are having to move away from their home because they can't get a job there because of the supervision.
So with this bill, I know that it's very common for there to be a bill being considered in a session in North Carolina about midwifery, and it's a hot-button issue for a lot of folks. What sets this bill apart, do you think, than maybe past legislation that's been considered? Does it have a better shot than maybe past bills concerning midwives this time?
Well, first of all, when you say bills concerning midwives, there's CPMs, which is totally different. The CPM bills that have gone through in the past are trying to make CPMs legal in the state. And so this bill is different because it's CNMs. But it's not only CNMs. This bill is actually all advanced practice nurses. So they're all APRNs, which include certified nurse midwives, nurse practitioners, nurse anesthetists, and certified nurse specialists. So there's four different APRNs that would be able to practice, you know, without that physician supervision. There's far more of them than there are nurse midwives. But it's the same thing. It would help the nurse practitioners go out to these rural areas. It would help the the nurse anesthetists are already doing it. Pretty much going to these rural areas. The anesthesiologist doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, in-house. I think a lot of them are out in areas like doing colonoscopies and things like that.
Mm-hmm. During your work at East Carolina University, I mean, have you seen an increase in people wanting to become a midwife?
I would say yes. We do have to limit the numbers of applicants that we take because we are trying, our mission is to increase the number of nurse midwives in North Carolina. So we only take applicants from North Carolina or applicants that will move to our state. And so that does limit our numbers. We have a cap of about 12. Sometimes we'll admit a few extra just to allow for attrition. But when I first came, I've been here for 11 years now, and we were graduating between 6 and 8 when I first came, and we're now graduating, the last 2 years has been 12. This year we just graduated 13. So the numbers in the past couple of years have certainly increased. And the other thing that we're seeing is a higher increase in the number of nurse practitioners who are coming back to school to kind of complete the circle and be able to attend birth. So if it's a family nurse practitioner or a women's health nurse practitioner that's been seeing prenatal clients in the office, they're now wanting to be able to attend the birth. So they come back to school for that post-master's certificate.
Do you have a sense of how many mothers in North Carolina are using midwives or are looking for midwives? Is there data on that?
You know, I do not know if there's data data on that. I really don't. I can speak for the private practice that I used to be in here in Greenville has just grown exponentially, and I mean they're over half of the patients in that particular practice are choosing midwifery. You know, in some places it's not known because there's not nurse midwives there. So I really don't.
Yeah. Well, talking about the practice in Greenville, I mean, do you have a sense of why people might be seeking out midwives now than they have in the last decade? Why is that number of women increasing?
Well, I think it's just an alternative to the traditional medical model. The nurse midwife is able to, at least they're trained, to spend more time with the patient in the practice, you know, whether it's prenatal care or GYN care. We try to have a little bit more extra time with them to educate and counsel them, and then they're trained to be with the woman. Midwife means with woman, and so we try to stay with them throughout their labor experience and throughout, obviously, the delivery. We tend to be less interventive, and there's a lot of women that, you know, don't want the intervention, especially during labor and birth, and so we're not as apt to induce labor or to break their water or do some of the interventions that tend to increase the cesarean section rate.
There's a lot of feelings around home birth in North Carolina. And when you compare the process of if a woman wants to give birth at home, that's a much easier process in South Carolina. You need to be a certified professional midwife and licensed with the state, and, you know, you can do that at home. But in North Carolina, there are a couple more hoops that you have to jump through. So how many of the midwives that you encounter and help teach go on to do home birth deliveries?
You know, that's really an interesting question because you would think that it would be far higher than it is. I have been here for 11 years and two have gone on to do home birth.
Wow.
It's really a very low number. Right now in the state of North Carolina, I believe there's only three nurse midwives that are attending births at home. And so the majority of home births are done by the certified professional midwives. And in fact, I have heard that some of the nurse midwives that have chosen to do home birth have actually gone through the certified professional midwife training just to get more of that, because it's very different delivering a baby at home than it is in the hospital. And so they actually will go through that training as well.
Wow. Do you have a sense of why a nurse midwife may not want to do a home birth?
I would get part of it is finding the physician supervision. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not a lot of physicians out there that are comfortable with home birth. And so you can't get that physician the approval to practice because you don't have that physician supervision. However, if that was removed from the law, honestly, I'm not sure that it would make that much of a difference. I, as a nurse midwife, have never attended a home birth, so I can't really speak that well to that. But for me, I'm just more comfortable in the hospital where I know if I call for help, the help's going to come out of the woodwork, you know, for me. I've heard people say that as well.
We're going to have to leave it there. That's Dr. Rebecca Bagley, the director of the Nurse Midwifery Education Program at East Carolina University. When we come back, we'll hear from local midwives about why they do what they do. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and this is Charlotte Talks.
We'll get back to the discussion on Charlotte Talks in just a moment here on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE. Our support comes from WFAE members and DHG, a public accounting firm based in Charlotte. The people of DHG work to combine global assurance, tax, and advisory resources with a commitment to help you and your business succeed. Coming up tomorrow on Charlotte Talks, it's the Friday News Roundup. First up, a violent Memorial Day weekend in Charlotte, four murders, a discussion about homicides in the Queen City. The Mecklenburg County budget proposal is out, no tax increase, while CMS falls short in its county funding request. It's also budget season in Raleigh, where protesters were arrested at the General Assembly. And the Supreme Court sends a redistricting case back to North Carolina's High Court. Guest host Eric Spanberg and our roundtable of reporters will review the week's top news when Charlotte Talks tomorrow at 9 on 90.7 WFAE.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Coming up on the next On Point, the skyrocketing price of Bitcoin and the appeal of alternative currencies. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
You can join On Point coming up at 10 o'clock, right after Charlotte Talks, here on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Sarah D'Elia. And today we're talking about midwifery in the Carolinas. We wanted to hear from moms who used a midwife during their pregnancy and childbirth about their experiences and reason why they decided to call a midwife. We put a call out online and heard from tons of women eager to share their stories, and these are just a few of them. We'll start with Shelley.
My midwives that helped me with my births in Juneau, Alaska, and in Durham, North Carolina, they were like my doctors and my mothers and my friends all rolled into one. That support system was so important for me.
My name is Megan Hollander, and I used midwives for the birth of both of my sons. I chose midwifery because the model of care aligns with my beliefs about birth. I chose to have unmedicated births both times, and it was important to me that I had providers that not only understood the benefits of unmedicated birth, but would support me in that decision all the way to the end. Midwifery care puts women in control of their own births. Midwives don't deliver babies, they catch them. It gives mothers the power and participation in their own births and treats them with the utmost respect.
This is Lorna from Charlotte. I gave birth to my son 2 years ago at home with the help of my husband and 2 midwives. I chose a home birth because I wanted as few interventions as possible. Since I didn't have any risk factors, I felt that for me, avoiding the hospital was the best way to avoid unnecessary interventions. My mother chose a home birth when she had me, so that gave me confidence that I could do it. I'm very glad I was able to labor and give birth at home, surrounded by my things and people I was comfortable with. It was also great to be at home to bond as a family right away and not worry about all the logistics that go along with being in a hospital.
My name is Rebecca Henson, and I saw the midwives my entire pregnancy. It was the most amazing experience that I cannot wait to have my second child. I'm actually pregnant right now. They're so supportive. They listen to my needs 100%, and I feel comfortable. They talk to me as a person. Not that doctors don't, but they just have this way.
Carissa Harris, Charlotte, North Carolina. I've used 3 midwives. 2 of my children were born at a birth center in a bathtub. And my most recent child, she's a month old, she was born on the side of the highway and delivered by my husband on the way to the birth center. And the story's pretty awesome. It was intense and unexpected. So I've done 3 natural births. I believe in the power of the human body. I also believe in medicine, but I think we got to give our bodies a chance to do what they were created to do.
Hey, my name is Meredith, and I live here in North Carolina, and I've had 3 babies in the last 8 years, all of which were naturally delivered by a midwife. My husband actually caught all 3 of our babies, and the midwife was a lovely, reassuring presence that was mostly silent, standing in the room, sitting on the floor, sometimes reminding me that my body knew what it was supposed to do, and that if I would just relax and let it take over, that things would just unfold, and they did.
Those were the voices of local mothers we heard from about why they wanted to use a midwife to oversee their pregnancies. And joining me now in the studio is Tina Hayes. She's a certified nurse midwife at Novant Carmel OBGYN in Southeast Charlotte. We have Dr. Susan Demchek, an OBGYN at Piedmont GYN OB Associates, Carolina's healthcare system, and Anaya Shangodeli-Ioka, a certified nurse midwife at Baby & Company, a birthing center in Charlotte. And we should say, in full disclosure, that Baby & Company and Novant are underwriters of WFAE. Thank you all so much for being here this morning.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you. Thank
you. So before we get too ahead of ourselves, you all either are midwives or work very closely with midwives, and I just want to very briefly have a little explanation for our listeners about what you do and how that's different. So Naya, we're going to start with you and your work at Baby & Company.
Okay. So yes, I am a certified nurse midwife here in North Carolina, and I practice at Baby & Company, which is a birth center here in Charlotte that's a part of a growing national network of birth centers. So in that, because I practice in a birth center and not in a hospital and not at home births, my practice tends to look a little differently than midwives who practice in the hospital. And so just some aspects of that are different are that, for one, we have, because a birth center is specifically designed to care for moms who are low risk. So the threshold is already there for us to know these are moms who can benefit from a certain kind of care. So we do intensive prenatal care education. Our focus is really on wellness. Visits with our patients are 30 to 60 minutes. And in our role as nurse midwives in the birth center, we do a lot of things that get parsed out to different people in, say, in an office setting. So we would do, for example, your blood draw. We check your blood pressure. So we have so many points of contact with patients and so much opportunity to build relationships with them. So by the time we get to the birth, there is already a lot of relationship building and education. Our care includes childbirth education classes, breastfeeding classes. It includes newborn care class. So there is just a very intense education and awareness building and really helping moms to have the support and structure, education, and peace of mind to know that they can do it.
Great. And Susan, you work with midwives.
I do. Mm-hmm. I've been in practice since 1999. And from the beginning of my career, I've worked with midwives. I started my career in the Navy. And I worked with great midwives at Camp Lejeune. When I came here in 2003, I joined a practice that that had midwives. Currently, my practice has seven midwives. I collaborate with them. I work alongside of them. So just this idea that midwifery is making a comeback is kind of, I kind of laugh because yeah. I don't know any different.
Yeah.
Pregnancy and delivery are a normal part of life. But in all honesty, pregnancy and delivery are somewhat a dangerous time in women's lives. You know, your risks of medical problems or pregnancy-related problems make it a more dangerous time. And although we try to encourage patients to think of pregnancy and delivery as a normal part of life, you know, I'm there. I exist as a safety net when something does go wrong. And I think that offering midwifery care, you know, in fact, it is recommended that most healthy women be offered the option of midwifery care. But the model that I'm comfortable in is that of we work alongside that supervisory role. As our earlier guests alluded to, there's a lot of heterogeneity in what is considered supervision. In many or most cases, you know, I'm actually on site. I may not be in the room with the patient. Often I am in the room with the patient and the midwife when the midwife delivers. But at times it is a matter of I will come in and consult and then I turn the care back over to the midwife. I think that it is a great option to be able to offer this to women because many times, although things are normal, they have needs that that the midwife can fulfill.
And Tina, you are a certified nurse midwife, and you work in a hospital setting. So how does your day-to-day work then?
So I work for a private practice in Southeast Charlotte. I have a lot of experience. I came to the area in 2001. I actually came in 1991, but started midwifery in 2001 and built a phenomenal practice that was collaborative. Our outcomes were amazing when C-section rates you see come from 25% to 35% down to 15% to 18%. So the numbers speak for themselves. As a certified nurse midwife at Novant, I do full scope. So I take care of women from adolescence through menopause. And of course, that specialty part is the childbearing age. So in the office setting, I do well woman care, gynecological care, contraceptive care. And in the hospital setting, I am at the bedside with my patients. So I do a lot of education, and it's an exciting time for women. It's a time to promote empowerment and self-determination for women. It's very, very just to know that the skillful communication that takes place between the moms and the families. It's not just mom or women-centered mm-hmm. either. It's family-centered.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to hear from you, our listeners. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org. Charlotte Talks is on Twitter or at WFAE on Facebook. So let me ask for the midwives in the room. Let me ask, is there – when you tell people that you are a midwife, is there a look that you get? Is there do people kind of scratch their head and say, what is that? I mean, is there stigma around your profession when you explain to people what you do? And Tina, I'll start with you.
Sometimes people always think you do home births when you're a midwife, mm-hmm. and they don't realize that you're a hospital midwife or a advanced practice nurse for that matter, because we are advanced practice nurses. They're very familiar with PAs or nurse practitioners, but they're not so familiar with certified nurse midwives. So that's the biggest stigma, is that we do home births and we only go to people's homes.
And Naya, do you have a
So I feel like the responses for me as a midwife tend to fall in probably like two or three categories. Mm-hmm. I think that for people who do know about midwives, there is a great deal of like respect and admiration for us mm-hmm. when people know about us. Mm-hmm. So people are like, wow, you're a midwife. I love midwives. And so that's its own perk. Like, you know, you get that satisfaction of people thinking highly of midwives and liking us. So there's that. But then you also hear from people like, they still have those. You know, there are people who do not know that midwives exist and that we practice, or don't know the heterogeneity of the practice of midwifery. So you do have people who think, so you deliver babies at home. And I have had babies at home with certified nurse midwives in New York State. And so I'm like, no, I'm familiar with it. And I trust that for people who are trained. But nope. That's not how I practice. You know, I practice in a birth center. And so I get to educate people about birth center care. We also get to educate people, just like Tina was saying, about the scope of midwifery care. And I think that's one of the cool things, because most people don't know that we do contraceptive management. And as much as I love catching babies, but I also like putting in IUDs. So that's also satisfying, and that we care for people through the lifespan. And so usually it's an opportunity to educate people about options for care for women, mm-hmm. for labor and birth, but also throughout the span of care.
Yeah. And Susan, you said something really interesting before. You said that a lot of times women, if they are low risk, healthy, a midwife might be a good option for them before a physician. So why did you want to incorporate midwives in your practice? Like, what was the – I know that it's been a part of your practice since – it sounds like the beginning of your career, but what was it that you were like, yeah, this works?
When I first came to the Charlotte area, it was a different type of model. Mm-hmm. It was kind of the midwife patients were a completely different pool. And then, you know, if there was a complication, meaning there were women who had had prior C-sections that would see the midwives, and then at the end of the pregnancy, they would get turned over to the physicians mm-hmm. for their repeat cesarean. They would be consulted to see if they were an appropriate candidate for a vaginal birth. At some point in time, the nature of that practice changed, where we became a collaborative practice. There were no more doctor patients versus midwife patients. They were all together, and we shared them. And of course, there were patients that would decide that they prefer to see a midwife. They like that relationship, and they understood that, you know. And the way obstetrics in general is nowadays is that you don't. It's not like the old days. You don't absolutely know who is going to do your delivery when you come in. The good news about that is we don't plan so many inductions and deliveries on our call day, which results in, as Tina was talking about, lower cesarean rates, lower intervention rates. And it's a trade-off. You don't have the same continuity of care, maybe, but we're all following kind of the standard of care, which is, you know, we're all moving towards that minimal intervention. Don't do unnecessary interventions. But our patients, you know, we take the team approach. You have a team, you know, the doctor and the midwife. Midwives work together. And it makes for hopefully kind of a big picture type delivery. The midwives practice in such a way that it's healthy. Mm-hmm. They look after healthy, well, normal women. the doctors are there looking for, you know, is there pathology here? Is there something that I need to address to make this woman's care safer? Mm-hmm. And that's how we work together.
Yeah. And I wanted to kind of take a step back and ask maybe a bigger picture question. When talking to mothers for getting ready for this show and the reporting that I've done, where and how you give birth is such a personal decision. Mm-hmm. And for some folks, like midwifery may not be a great option for them. Mm-hmm. They may not be comfortable with it, or, you know, home birth, completely other discussion and conversation in and of itself. So how do you approach this kind of, there feels like there's a lot of judgment around birth culture sometimes. How do you create, and Tina, I'll start with you, how do you create like an environment where women feel comfortable no matter where they want to give birth or how they want to do that and with whoever?
Right. I think it starts with just the education of and so that the woman has the comfort level. So starting this new practice at Carmel, they're not familiar with midwives like in my old practice where everybody knew what midwives were and had a huge comfort level. So I start out every visit with every woman, just educating them about midwifery and helping them to learn that they can be empowered and be an important part of the healthcare decisions. So that education process of helping them become comfortable with midwifery is very, very important. The health promotion and disease prevention aspect of healthcare is very important. So, but for me, when I have a patient that needs a cesarean, I'm going to follow that patient into the OR and I'm going to first assist that physician. So the collaborative model that Susan was talking about is an amazing model, because when we have high-risk patients in the hospital setting, we can collaboratively work together. Sometimes we have a lot of fun and a physician and a midwife might be in the delivery. We had an awesome delivery the other day where the baby's name was Jolene, and we were playing that song, you know, by Dolly Parton the whole time, and it was just a fun family event, and there was nothing high risk, but the physician was there because it was fun, and we had a great time. So I think that comfort level just comes from establishing relationships and helping people understand the roles of every professional aspect, and the collaboration is really important with obstetricians and certified nurse midwives in any aspect of whether it's a home birth practice, a baby and co practice, or a hospital based practice. That collaboration and that relationship between obstetricians and midwives is very, very important.
Midwifery is an ancient profession. It goes back to biblical times. There were midwives in ancient Egypt. Greco-Roman culture describes two different types of midwives, the kind that learned mothers taught daughters, or older women taught younger women and mentored them. But the model that we have in our practice is kind of the best case, kind of the best of both worlds.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more on midwifery in the state of North Carolina when Charlotte Talks returns.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Blumenthal Performing Arts, presenting Charlotte Squawks 13, a musical parody that takes aim at everything from pop culture and sports to traffic and politics. Now through June 25th at the Booth Playhouse. Tickets at 704-372-1000. And NC Warn, working to slow climate change by curbing methane emissions from the fracked gas and power industries. Information on clean energy alternatives at ncwarn.org. Coming up at 10 o'clock on Point, guest host Sasha Pfeiffer is in for Tom Ashbrook, where the conversation turns to Bitcoin. Bitcoin trading is up more than 130% this year alone and 397% from a year ago. A discussion about the skyrocketing price of Bitcoin, deciphering digital currencies and their appeal, and why some say the Bitcoin bubble is about to burst. That's On Point at 10, here on 90.7 WFAE.
When When you write and produce and direct a movie, you get to pick your team. So if you want an all-women crew, you hire one.
I have found in my own life that something kind of inexplicably magical happens when women come together.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Zoe Lister-Jones on her new film, Band-Aid, next time on Marketplace.
Marketplace this evening at 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Sarah D'Elia in for Mike Collins. And today we're talking about midwives in North Carolina. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you have. Email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org, Charlotte Talks on Twitter, or search for WFAE on Facebook. My guests today are Tina Hayes. She's a certified nurse midwife at Novant Health Carmel OBGYN in Southeast Charlotte. Dr. Susan Demchak, an obstetrician at Piedmont GYN OB in the Carolinas healthcare system. She practices in South Charlotte and in Rock Hill. And Anaya Shangodile Ioka, she's a certified nurse midwife at Baby & Company at Birthing Center in Charlotte. Also, Charlotte Novant and Baby & Company are underwriters for WFAE. Dr. Demchak, at the top of the show, we talked about the idea of physician supervision when it comes to certified nurse midwives. And that's, for our listeners, that's the way that it goes in the state of North Carolina. You supervise certified nurse midwives. Why is that important?
Well, from the standpoint of the, as I mentioned before, pregnancy is a normal part of life. We try not to think of it as a disease. However, it is it can be a dangerous part of a woman's life. When you look at third world countries, you know, I think the last statistic I saw from like Afghanistan, infant death rate, you know, 100 out of 1,000. You know, our maternal death rate here in the United States is climbing, which is probably has to do with the fact that we're not as well as we could be. So it's very important to focus on wellness. But the importance is the collaboration, the appropriate referral, and the team approach to care. The midwives do a great job as far as normal deliveries. And very often I'll be in watching them. I'm very humbled by the fact that this profession has been around for thousands of years. I'm a creature that came about in the 18th century. Mm-hmm. My profession has been around since the 1700s, and strangely, as my profession advanced, so did the systematic repression of midwifery. The idea that you have to have a doctor to do this. I think that there is a place for all of us to work together, and certainly, hopefully, as we tackle that maternal death rate, meaning we try to bring it down both in ways, you know, concentrating on being healthy at the beginning of a pregnancy and also addressing complications of pregnancy aggressively, I think there's a place for all of us at the table.
Yeah, I'd love to add something to that as well, because with a birth center and what Baby & Company is doing is sort of unique to this model. As midwives, we are trained to collaborate, mm-hmm. consult, and refer. And I don't necessarily think a supervisory agreement and a regulation would make that happen, right? We have dozens of states where that's not the requirement, but that's already our training. And so like Tina and the doctor said, that's what we're going to do anyway in a practice environment. But you have a state like, for example, New York State, where the midwives are free, quote unquote, where that's not a part of the language, but midwives are still going to do that because we know that that's what is safe for families. We know that that's what leads to the best outcomes. But on the other side of it, what we're doing in Baby & Company and being a birth center is that we're not in the hospital. We know we're caring for lower risk moms, but we also know that providing a different sort of structure can also get to those great outcomes. So if we know a family or a mom is low risk and we cater to that, we cater to activating her engagement in her health. We cater to actually providing education so that she understands how to be healthy in pregnancy, mm-hmm. so she can set goals around health, being healthy in pregnancy, reducing cortisol levels and things of that nature. Then we can help to keep her low risk.
Yeah.
And then as necessary, we refer. So we work with Providence OB-GYN practice here mm-hmm. in Charlotte. Those are our backup docs. We have great relationships with them. So we consult with them as needed. Mm-hmm. And if we need to go into the hospital, the midwives will go into the hospital with our patients to care for them in the hospital if their risk requires that setting.
Right.
So I think one really interesting thing is to say low-risk women may benefit from not even being in the hospital at all, as long as they can have the necessary care and that they are integrated into the healthcare system so that when their risk status elevates, if it comes to that, then they can get the care that they need when mm-hmm. they need it. And so that's sort of why we're set up with, we definitely want to make sure we have great relationships in the community and work with our backup docs and that we can get to the hospital in a timely fashion mm-hmm. When needed.
Right. So when we look at legislation like House Bill 88, which would, again, for our listeners, remove this physician supervision over certified nurse midwives, is that a good thing? Does it need to be in law? Susan, I'm looking at you, so I'll start with you.
31 counties in North Carolina don't have an obstetrician. I think that and places like the United Kingdom, you don't have, you know, this is the law of the land, that you don't have to have a supervising physician. My comfort level is delivering in a hospital, in the collaborative environment. But would that mother who delivered by the side of the road in the momtage been safer in a planned home birth as opposed to having her husband deliver the baby on the side of the road? I think probably so. You know, you have to take everything from a risk-benefit standpoint. And those people in those 31 counties, would they be safer, the low-risk ones, you know, in a planned home birth as opposed to having their partner driving 80 miles an hour trying to get them to a hospital? You know, I can't, going back to that judgment that you mentioned earlier, you know, I can't judge them based on the fact that I'm sitting here in an urban area mm-hmm. with access to hospitals and anesthesia and, all the advantages that I have.
I think the important thing to remember here is the collaboration of care and the interprofessional healthcare team. That's the most important part of this. It's not about supervisory or who's allowed to do what. It's about the collaboration of care and giving that patient the opportunity to have the best care possible. Mm-hmm. And some of those other cultures that Dr. Demchak talked about in the UK is all midwifery-based, that midwifery philosophy and model of care. And when you collaborate with midwives, the numbers speak for themselves. And I mean, we've got some great numbers in South Charlotte that talks about what midwifery care has done in a true collaborative practice. And I'm excited to build this in Southeast Charlotte and to bring access and an option to women in Southeast Charlotte where it hasn't been before. But that collaboration is the most important thing. It's not the supervisory limitations. That's only limitations.
Because, I mean, supervisory is just basic. It's basically a piece of paper. I mean, in many cases, the provider isn't necessarily on site. And I'm talking more looking at like nurse practitioners. And, you know, when I take my children to Minute Clinic and they see a nurse practitioner, you know, that person has a supervising physician, but the person's not necessarily close by, you know. I hate to get hung up on things. I think the benefit would be potentially that there are people that would go out into those 31 rural counties that don't have access to care now and concentrate on making people healthier.
Mm-hmm. Well, to switch gears here just slightly, Anaya, you're the one guest that necessarily – you'd be hopefully attending a birth at Baby & Company, not at the hospital if everything's going well, and that's where the baby would be. You'd catch
yes,
the baby.
Always what we want.
But what do you do if something goes wrong? A lot of people, I'm sure that's from the midwives that I've spoken to, that's the first question they get is, what do you do if something goes wrong?
Yeah.
So what do you do if something goes wrong?
So we have to answer this question all the time because we're bringing something new to the community, right? And I'm glad to be able to talk about that. For one, with our relationship with our backup physicians, we already have policies and protocols laid out. So we have the training to know what normal is. And when things are falling outside of that scope. So at every point in care, whether it's during prenatal care or during a birth, we're always assessing the risk status. Are things still low risk? when they are not low risk? What are the risks and benefits to staying here now? Do we need to get to the hospital now? So we're close, and Baby and Company, where, you know, whether it's in Cary or whether it's in Charlotte, is always going to be close to the hospital so that we can get there quickly. And if it's an emergency situation, we're going right over. We're on the phone with our backup docs. We're letting them know we're coming over. This is the situation. We let the charge nurses know we're coming over. This is the situation. So when we get over there, it's pretty much a seamless transfer. If we are transferring to the physician's care, most of the time we're not. Most of the time, the midwife can continue care there. It's just that we want the safety net of, for example, a pediatric team for help with the baby when they're born. So we are sort of set up. That's our design, is to be able to get to the hospital as soon as possible and when needed in an emergency. And our training tells us when that's necessary.
And I know in South Carolina, if you're a certified professional midwife and licensed with the state, you can bring a mother who needs to go to the emergency room if something comes up. But if you're not a certified nurse midwife, you don't have that supervision in North Carolina of a physician, and you bring a mom to the hospital, you do risk being arrested, right? I mean, that's the law of the land in North Carolina.
I think that's where things get a little murky, because when you're talking about the supervisory agreement and what's legal and what's not legal, it's going to depend on her status of practice.
I see.
So she can't just walk into a hospital, for example, and just decide that she's going to take care of her patient in the hospital. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily mean that she'll be arrested if she takes her patient to a hospital if she was practicing in the scope of her practice and according to what her approval is to practice in the state.
Mm-hmm. We had a listener write in with a question that is a little bit on the heavier side to warn our listeners and our guests. Part of the reason that he wrote us was because he had a close friend who used an unlicensed midwife in North Carolina, and they sadly ended up losing their baby during this process. So again, this was a home birth that went wrong. This was with someone that wasn't licensed. This wasn't Baby and Company or in a hospital setting. But this was his question. He said, how do we help promote widespread midwifery while also holding account the minority of practitioners who are not medically trained or don't have the experience or humility to change plans when medical intervention becomes necessary? So how do you be an advocate for midwifery when there are folks that are practicing underground in the state of North Carolina?
It definitely makes it hard for us, for the people who are practicing within an appropriate scope of care. And having worked in a hospital setting where I receive some home birth moms, some great outcomes who still end up with vaginal deliveries, and some very, very sad and horrible outcomes. And at no time have my colleagues or myself ever sat in judgment, because you don't know what happened in that situation. Our role is to take over the care and to give the best care possible and give the most emotional and physical support possible. So it's really tough. And when some of the birth centers in the area had some difficult times, and the midwives in South Charlotte had a really hard time because people lost trust in midwifery. And it was tough to have to help patients and moms and families understand that there's a scope to practice. And I think, and there's hallmarks of midwifery, and most every certified nurse midwife or certified midwife or that practices within their scope aren't going to run into these issues. And it's when people practice with beyond their scope or don't follow the hallmarks of safety is when people get in trouble. So to me, it's an easy thing. There are some key questions to ask people about their process, and Baby & Co's got it set up appropriately. And so they're going to have less bad outcomes. And when you work collaboratively with the whole healthcare team, physicians and midwives, then you have better outcomes. Physicians are trained in pathology and surgery, and midwives are not trained in surgery. And so that's probably the biggest difference between us.
Unless you're in Mozambique. Midwives in Mozambique are doing cesarean hysterectomies. Yeah. I told Tina one time she needed to step up her game.
No thanks.
I would say be an informed consumer.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a reason why we give Rogam. There's a reason why we test for gestational diabetes. There's a reason why we screen for GBS. In this day and age, you have all that information at your fingertips, and you can ask informed questions. So, my answer to him was, you know, make sure you're working with people who are working within the standard of care.
But midwives should be, you know, they have an advocacy for informed choice and shared decision making, and helping that woman be empowered to be an active team. Part of that team. It's not just about the midwife and the physician. It's about the family. Yeah. Mostly it's about the family and the mom.
Yeah. And I would add to that, this is why midwives being integrated into the healthcare system is also critical. So hearing him, I mean, it actually breaks my heart, of course, to hear that they lost their child. But even that, in retrospect, he has to be thinking about this. Like, he's trying to answer these bigger questions mm-hmm. about midwifery practice. And families should not have to think about what is it going, like, they shouldn't have to think about that. So this is where this issue of supervisory language, it's a part of it in a slight way. And I don't even want to harp on the supervisory language bit, but when we can reduce barriers to entry or barriers to practice for people who are trained and who can be integrated into the healthcare system, I think that also sort of starts to get at some of what he's asking there. And the things that we're talking about, too, when people yeah. are trained and are practicing within their scope, then it makes it easier to collaborate as well. And when you're not shut out of the healthcare system, and you can build those relationships.
I want to thank folks that have written in on Facebook. We've heard from Beth and Hayden that have talked about their positive experiences using midwives. So I'd encourage all of our listeners to go and check out on Facebook and keep the conversation going. I want to thank our guests today for their time and for coming in. Tina Hayes, she's a certified nurse midwife at Novant. Dr. Susan Demchak, an obstetrician at Piedmont in Carolina's healthcare system. And Anaya Shangodeli Ioka, she's a certified nurse midwife at Baby and Company Birthing Center in Charlotte. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you all so much for listening. I'm Sarah D'Elia in for Mike Collins, and this has been Charlotte Talks.